Hawaii has a problem with affordable housing. The lack of available places to live within most residents' price range has become a major challenge for communities across the islands. Basic laws of supply and demand tell us that the price of something is high, we need to produce more of it to lower that price. But the issue is not so black and white, according to some local developers.
We are by far and away the hardest place in the country to deliver housing. And for us to make it harder makes no sense whatsoever. You're going to get less of it, not more.
Say, hypothetically, I have a piece of property in Kaka'aku with an antiquated warehouse. Well, our vacancy factor on commercial warehouse industrial today is less than 1%. We've got one of the tightest markets in the country and one of the best yields in the country. If I build rental apartments, I'm subject to this 30-year mandatory affordability. I'm not going to go build it. I can build a new warehouse or a commercial building, not provide any affordable housing. Don't constrain a private landowner of his property rights.
You know, as much as we all want it and we want to force somebody to do it by waving a wand or pounding a hammer, it will not get built. And we'll end up with 30% or 25% or 15% or whatever the number is of zero.
Those are local real estate developers Daniel Cody, Stanford Carr, and Scott Settle, commenting on a plan put forth by Honolulu Mayor Kirk Caldwell over the summer to require that affordable rental apartments be included in future residential development projects. His reasoning was that a significant portion of Honolulu residents are below the area median income, or AMI, and cannot afford Oahu's rental market.
An 80% AMI level for an individual is $56,000. For a family of four, it's $80,000. The starting salary of a teacher today is $46,000. 60% of the people who work at the city and county of Honolulu, they 10,000, are below 80% AMI.
But the New York City development firm Bronx Pro Group, LLC, has successfully been constructing affordable rental units in New York's sky-high real estate market, still turning a profit. They're called micro units, and the firm is bringing them to the booming Honolulu neighborhood of Kaka'ako. Conversation producer Ryan Finnerty spoke with Bronx Pro Group's Samantha Magistro to find out how they do it.
Micro units are a little bit unique, and how we really define them is by their size. And typically, they're anywhere from 300 to 305 square feet or less. But these units do have your typical housing amenities with a full kitchen and a full bath.
What benefit does a micro unit provide in terms of affordable housing and the construction of more affordable housing?
Sure. Why micro units are a great use in affordable housing is that it provides a different typology to get more housing units onto the market on smaller sites. So you can take a small site, instead of building, say, maybe 50 units, you may be able to double that to 100.
And what about capacity? If the units are smaller, it would stand to reason that they can't hold as many people. Is there a trade-off in that area?
Yeah, again, affordable housing has to meet a number of different types of family households. And so what we found in New York is that there are a lot of single family households that are overhoused in units that are too big for them. So micro units really target the individuals, and that's the thought process there.
How many individuals is one micro unit designed to house?
So typically you'll have one to two people, two being a max.
So it's not necessarily suitable for a family, but for a couple or maybe a parent with one or two children?
Yeah, it's not really meant to be housing families. It's for the individual household, a single person or a couple.
Are there other markets, either in the United States or elsewhere, where this type of development has been used effectively?
Sure. I think micro units is a model that is being looked at across the country, especially in dense cities. In New York City, there was a pilot micro unit RFP that was successful and built here, and it's occupied, and I know that it had proper demand, and it was very successful here.
Your firm, Bronx Pro Group, is based in New York City, and most of your projects are located in New York. What made you decide to pursue a project here in Hawaii?
Like many things in business, it comes down to relationships. Basically, we were working with an organization that's based in Honolulu, a CM&D, and they brought the micro unit RFP to our attention. But what I would say beyond that is that we're really interested in that innovation in micro units, and that's what attracted us to ultimately apply and be part of the team for that site.
Both New York and Honolulu have very tight real estate markets, and they're both very high-cost areas. Are there greater similarities, more than just that superficial connection between the two areas?
You know, I would say, like, the structural issues of affordable housing is high cost, both of land and construction. So similar to New York, you guys have limited land resources and high land costs. So that comes together. And then additionally, high cost of labor and high cost of construction, that also leads to the, you know, pressure on limited housing resources. So I'd say that's pretty similar.
Affordable rentals specifically are something that have really defeated a lot of developers here. And some of them have come out and said that they're just not even interested in pursuing those types of developments when more profitable commercial or luxury developments can be built. What techniques have you used in New York that have allowed your company to be so successful as a for-profit business in the affordable rental market?
Sure. I will say that, you know, from our perspective, I'd say the first thing is that we are committed to the mission. So we are looking to build affordable housing. That's important to us. So it's, you know, the profit is just one element in how we look at or gauge success in our business. So that's the first kind of caveat. But what I will say about New York City is that we have a lot of resources, and they've had a lot of land resources. So we get city-owned land at reduced values, which have been able to, you know, kind of build our business with that. So I would say that's also what brought us to the table.
Is getting land either from a city or state or at some kind of heavily subsidized rate, is that sort of a prerequisite to creating one of these developments, or can it be done on a purely private scale?
So I would say that certainly helps, having subsidized land. It facilitates the transaction, and there's certain communities where I would say the barriers to buying land are so high, the costs are so high, if you think of like downtown Manhattan. But in general, we have been able to work with the city in some of the outer boroughs, especially the Bronx where we are, where we can buy sites at market rate, and we're able to work with them to get the resources to pencil the deals. So again, it really comes down to having resources and the desire by the city and the state to put those resources into these deals.
When you look at siting a location for one of these affordable rental projects, are there certain factors within the urban space that you look for in choosing a site?
I think, you know, every developer is different. I think the biggest factor for our firm is that we're looking to build communities. So we're looking for sites to build on past investments and to continue like that deep community building and affordable structure, you know, providing affordable housing and community building in the neighborhoods that we serve. So to me, that is probably the biggest factor in terms of choosing a site and going after a site.
I see that the development your firm is working on here in Honolulu will use a panelized building technology, and that they're also going to be environmentally friendly units. Can you explain a little bit about those two features of the project?
Yeah, sure. So in terms of the panelized structure, we're not going to be using a panelized system. That might have been in some of the prior press, but we've been able to come to a more affordable model to build more traditionally. But we are going to be very sustainable. One, micro units are sustainable by its nature. You're adding density on a very small site, so that's naturally efficient. Beyond that, we're going to be building towards a LEED standard, shooting for gold certification. And we're looking at solar panels and also thinking about the interiors and how we can be very sustainable.
And for anyone who's interested in moving into this project once it's completed, do you have an estimated completion date? And then also, how will residents be selected for one of these units?
Sure. We anticipate starting construction in the spring of 2018. Typically, buildings can take anywhere from 18 to 24 months to complete. But if we take out the outside date, then we're looking at June of 2020. And if people are interested in the project, they'll be able to apply to our management company, EAH Housing. We'll be doing some marketing via printed press as well as radio. And folks will send in their applications, and then they'll be randomized onto a log, and folks will be processed by in order of their lottery number.
And so we'll get a little bit more information when the opening approaches as to how to submit one of those applications?
Yeah, typically we will start marketing about 3 to 4 months before we anticipate being ready for occupancy. So I would say about at least 18 months to 2 years from now.
And about how many people do you expect to be able to house in this project?
So it'll be 110 households. So it could be either one or two individuals.
Samantha, thanks so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Samantha Magistro is the Managing Director of Development for the New York-based affordable housing developer Bronx Pro Group, LLC. That firm was the winner of a bid put out by the Hawaii Community Development Authority to develop a parcel of land on Cook Street in Honolulu's Kaka'ako neighborhood. You can get details of the project on the Conversation page of hawaiipublicradio.org.